Let us thank and pray. Holy, righteous God, dear Heavenly Father, we thy children have come before thy face this evening to gather around thy holy and precious word and to be in the fellowship of thy children. Dear Father, we ask that thou would have mercy upon us, for we are weak and poor. We have come here with our own doubts and fears, our own trials and temptations. We ask that thou would come close unto us through thy holy word, that we could be encouraged to continue in faith, and to continue this journey that leads unto heaven's shore. Dear Father, thou knowest all things. Nothing is hid from thee. We ask that thou would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe that which thy Spirit speaks unto us through thy kingdom. Dear Father, we are thankful for this kingdom which we see as that precious candlestick of gold, and this kingdom which is our home, our family. And that we ask that thou would always give us those eyes of faith, that we would be able to see this thy kingdom as the pillar and ground of truth, and as thy house. Dear Father, we also wish to pray for those who have once been partakers with us of this holy calling, our prodigal children, our friends, our relatives who have once been partakers of this hope and this calling of life eternal, but who have been deceived by the enemy of the soul and who have been led away from this grace kingdom. Dear Father, we pray in their behalf. We pray that thou would create in their heart a need for thy holy gospel, for that goodness that comes from thee, and that thou would lead them back here to this house of grace and this house of hope, and that they together with us could once again experience that joy of salvation and that hope of eternal life. We pray too, dear Father, for those who are struggling, those who have many temptations, those who are tempted even to believe in a different way. We ask that thou would draw close unto them, that they could hear the voice of thy Son, the voice of the Good Shepherd, and would heed that call to continue here in thy kingdom. We pray for our friends and neighbors, and we pray also for our countries, that this time of visitation would yet continue and yet be blessed, and that there would yet be found those individual persons who are seeking for a gracious God, who are troubled by their sins. And dear Father, we pray for ourselves that we could continue yet as children in a kingdom of children, that we would be content to live of the power of thy gospel, and that our eyes good to remain focused upon that home Latin shore. And so we pray, dear Father, that Thou would open this word to us. Put the word into the mouth of Thy poor servant and give it life that it might have effect in our hearts. Dear Father, we pray, even as Thy Son has taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We shall take for our study this evening the 50 part of the 51st Psalm, verses 1 through 12. We read these words again with prayerful hearts and in the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Before we would study this text any closer, I would like to bring greetings of love and God's peace to each of you that were able to come here this evening to the services. We have been able to travel quite broadly and meet many people. More recently, we were in Florida, as were some of your congregation members, and were able to enjoy the fellowship of God's children there, as well as other places. Certainly, the brothers and sisters from Ishpeming also sent their greetings, and the Ishpeming board, whose meeting I was at a few evenings back. It is no small thing to bring greetings of love and God's peace from those that believe in the same way and have the same spirit as we do. It is something that we can rejoice at, that we travel together in the same way of salvation. in this way that leads unto eternal life. Many have asked, how has it gone since we have met the last time? And we can say that God has been good to us, that He has preserved us in His kingdom until this day. Certainly we have experienced our own doubts and fears and trials and temptations, and as parents of a large family, it seems that we carry closely those trials and difficulties of our children, so that we bear together with them both sorrow and joy, even as you do, as believing parents and grandparents and escorts in faith, that we don't make this journey alone or in a void, so to speak, but we journey this together. So as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, when one person rejoices, we rejoice with that person. And if one person is sorrowful or having difficulties with that person, we bear that burden of sorrow too, but it lightens the burdens and increases the joy when we as brothers and sisters in faith can speak of the way and the journey with our friends in faith. One of the, of course, very prolific writers in the book of Psalms is David, and this is a Psalm of David. I have come more recently to very much appreciate the Psalms of David. And David, we know a great deal about. David was a childhood believer, as we understand from the scriptures. He was very humble person, very much trusted in God. And we remember how as a young person, he went to the battlefield where that giant Goliath was and offered to go to battle against him. And offered to go with that sling and five stones that he had chosen, and was victorious over such a enemy that all the army of Israel feared. And we know that it was by faith that he was able to do that in such a childlike way, that he was able to believe that he could go, if God was with him, to do what he could. And we can see in that how it could have only been by faith that such a one could go in danger of his own life to do that battle. But we also know that David had such times in his life which he was very tempted by fleshly things and earthly things, and he became unwatchful, and he fell into unbelief. And we recall how that prophet Nathan was sent to him to use a parable to him of a man who had a certain lamb or ewe lamb, and through that parable that God was able to open David's heart, and he realized that he was in a very grievous situation as far as his life of faith. He was not a believer, He had committed murder and committed adultery and had been a deceiver in some ways, all of these things. So when we use that or think of that as the backdrop of his life, he started from that small, believing boy at home, the least of his brothers, the caretaker of sheep, and he grew into a teenage years and then into adulthood, and God blessed him in different ways, and he always wanted to do what was good. He began the journey in this life, a journey of faith, but as we noted, he then fell away from faith. And such is what happens at times. But of course, in David's case, God was gracious unto him, and he provided for him a way to return to the kingdom of God and to continue that journey of faith until he was able to sleep away. And we have good testimony of David that in spite of all of his failings in this life, many of which are included in the Bible, the Old Testament, that in spite of his failures, that yet God had to say of him at some point that David is a man after my own heart. So we could say that how could God then, knowing all that he knew and all of David's failings, then conclude that David was a man after his own heart? Of course, God looked then from that time that he had come back into faith until the time that he had concluded his journey in faith. And David was dear unto the heart of the Heavenly Father. David has written many psalms, and when you look at those psalms, what you see is someone that is very contrite, or very humble, someone who acknowledges that they have been very sinful, and yet is so thankful for the blessings that God has given, so happy that he is in a saved state of heart and soul. So this very psalm that we have read, if you had read it or the preface to it, at least in my Bible, it says it's a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So Bathsheba he had committed adultery with. And Nathan, as we just related, had that duty to care for David and go and reveal to the king of the nation where he was very lacking in his earthly or outward behavior, how he had sinned grievously. So it was probably a fearful mission for Nathan the prophet. But then comes these words that we have read where you can feel very closely in these words how the heart of David changed. He was not wrathful anymore. He was not demanding that the one who had taken that ewe lamb that we refer to, that man would have to be put to death. Because we remember how when Nathan told that story and David was very, very demanding, very sure that was certainly not a right thing to do. And he pronounced on that person that person has to die. It was at that point that Nathan said, "You're that man." That was the point at which David realized and that he was the greatest of all sinners. And that point that Nathan preached unto him that gospel, that his sins were forgiven. So we can again touch on these our text with those kind of thoughts in the background. David said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David definitely felt that he was a sinner in God's kingdom. He knew what he had done, what he had caused in the life of Bathsheba and her husband who had caused to be put to death or murdered on the battlefield. He knew all of these things were very grievous sins that he could not change. He could not go back and give life to Uriah. He could not go back and undo the sin of adultery and deceit. So he carried the knowledge of these sins with him as he made journey. But he also received and believed the forgiveness that was extended unto him through the prophet Nathan, and had this kind of pleading heart. And it is of course, a very great gift that we have when someone preaches the forgiveness of sins to us, that we can believe that they are forgiven, and after we are heaven acceptable, and that those sins, although they may be scars, as we say, that remind us of our evilness, they are nevertheless forgiven before God, and the way of heaven is open. So he continues that, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." We understand through faith, dear brothers and sisters, that the way of the forgiveness of sins has not changed, that we certainly can pray to God as we do in the Lord's Prayer, that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. But what we pray for is that he would provide the means of grace, or the means by which we can care for the matters of our conscience. But we also know that we find ourselves to be guilty of all manner of sin before God. And as Father in Faith Luther taught, that when what sins do we confess? He says that those that we have knowledge of, and those that bother our conscience. Those we confess to our confessor Father, but we acknowledge ourselves guilty of all manner of sins. I believe it was Luther that also went further and said that if we knew the full depth of our sinfulness, that how horrible we could say, or how sinful we are, that we would go into despair, because we sin in ways that we don't even realize. But because of the power of the gospel in our lives, God looks upon us through his Son, and we have that blessed matter that we can go unto the throne of grace in time of need, and even for doubts and fears, and we can uplift our heart to believe the forgiveness of all sins. It is God's grace gift, as we say that. We can go and speak to one another when we are troubled, when sin has become a hindrance to faith, and it's always there. We can't we need to talk to somebody, then we certainly have that very great privilege. But we, in that Lord's Prayer, do pray too that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others that trespass against us. So it's kind of a picture of that we also pray that we could forgive those that trespass against us, those that sin against us, those that have hurt us in some way that we would not, so to speak, hold a grudge or carry the hatchet or however we might put it, but that when that blessing of the forgiveness is preached and brother to brother and sister to sister, that we can let the matter go. We can forgive from the bottom of our heart those transgressions that have taken place. David continued that, "For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me." And so I've thought that it is a good thing that the light of grace can shine into our heart to that extent that we can see that we are sinners in need of grace. We certainly must not despair of grace or the forgiveness of sins. But when that grace light that shines from the face of Christ shines into our hearts, we do find ourselves to be very sinful, not only in this that we have fallen into sin, but that we are sinful in our being, in our corrupted nature. Even as David, I think, is pointing at here, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He is not saying that in the bonds of marriage that it is wrong that a child be conceived, but I think what he means is that we are totally sinful in our and corrupt. We carry that inherited sin, that matter that has come from how many generations back from that first fall of Adam and Eve. Luther said that each generation becomes darker and darker. So how many generations has advanced since Adam and Eve have been here? I don't know, but it's been many generations. So it gives us a picture of that corrupted portion that we were born with and that we carry and that we even came to services. We couldn't leave it at home. It had to come along. And we cannot make our journey towards heaven or to heaven. We cannot set this old portion aside and try to journey only with the new portion, the Spirit of Christ. But we carry both portions, old Adam and the new Adam, Christ. And so our journey is sometimes very difficult because of this old portion, which causes all manner of problems in our life and our home. So that is the kind that we are, brothers and sisters. We are sinful from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. That's the way we are. If we also fall into sin that we can describe with words or name and so forth, that is our lot. But as David so experienced as far as the power of the gospel, we have experienced that too in our lives. We have experienced that the gospel is powerful, that it has been able to wash away our sins and our doubts, and it has sustained us on this journey. It has given us enough strength to make promises, to journey yet for a little while in the kingdom of God towards that homeland shore. And it has made our footsteps lighter for a moment. David, here in one of the verses that we read, he says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." So he knows, and we know too, that any sin is really a sin against God, even when we sin against our brothers and sisters in faith, or against people in general. We have sinned against God too. So he says this, I have sinned against thee only have I sinned. David continues, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." We, dear brothers and sisters, our journey is in some ways simple, and in some ways, because of our carnal mindedness and our inherited portion, we can make it much more difficult than it is to journey as a child of God. But by faith, we know that we need the power of the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. It comes unto us as the grace of God that is found here in His kingdom, that we who would be just wayfaring travelers in this life have been called by God to be partakers of this holy calling and this hope. It has been nothing on our part. We would not have known to seek for God or to be concerned with our position before God or acceptability before Him had He not called us into His kingdom or caused us to be born here into believing our homes and to be able to live all of our days in the kingdom of God. That is God's grace. So we know that it is completely God's grace, which means grace in its original tongue means simply that we have favor with God. He looked favorably upon us for some reason that we did not deserve it to be so, or why did He call us to be believers? But we also, in God's kingdom, we have the truth of God's word, which is also before us. Because we have this old portion, sometimes through God's word comes warnings about particular matters that we should be aware of or could cause us to lose faith. And that is, when it comes through the Spirit of God and comes through love, that certainly is part of God's grace. And those are things that we need and want to hear. They are not, we can say, certainly teachings of the law, if we are warned about sin, that can cause us to fall away from faith. So we have the truth of God's word as well as the grace of God's word. And some have written much about this. Believers have thought much about it and written much about it. And I remember the words of a old Finnish preacher. I think it's over a century ago, 100 years ago, he wrote about it in Finland. And he said about grace and truth, that he said that you cannot have one without the other. You cannot only hear the truth of God's word without hearing about God's grace and forgiveness towards us as sinful and mankind, because then it would become a burden that we could not carry. But neither can we live without hearing the truth by only hearing that God is gracious, but He is both a gracious and a righteous God. So it is good to hear that. David continued, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." So we have that picture of the power of the forgiveness of sins. When we preach one to another that core message, that son or daughter, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, we believe that that has washed away our sins, that the darkness of sin has been washed away, and that we are then white as snow. That is the power of the gospel. Of course, the enemy of the soul, he preaches his sermon too. And he wants us to remember those sins that have been forgiven and somehow cast doubt on the power of the gospel. That could the power of the gospel be that so strong that it could wash away even some grievous sins? And of course it is. That is the power of the gospel. By faith we have known that, and we experience that in our hearts. We can't explain it with great successful or great words, you might say, but we, each child of God who has been relieved of the burden of sin through the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, certainly knows the power of the forgiveness of sins and the power that it has when brother preaches to brother, or sister to sister, or husband to wife, and so forth, parents to children. That is the power of the gospel. And we know that the scriptures speak in this way, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. So it is not just for this life, but it is unto salvation. And by the washing away of sins, we are able to make this journey, and we are able to war against the enemy of the soul. David also said that, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou broken may rejoice, and to hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities." That's something, dear brothers and sisters, that in the time that we live a time of stress and both in our lives, in our professions, in our daily callings, and at home. We have a lot of stress and difficulty and worry. It seems, at least maybe it is for me, that it's often hard to trust that God has matters in His own hand, that He really is in control, and that I must learn to live by faith. But it seems like it's always a lesson for me, when whether it be ourselves or or for instance, some of our children experience difficulties to trust that God is in control. It's one of those things that I think I remember the older believers talking about, that we are always in the school of God. And it seems like that's one lesson that's I've never been able to learn very well, is to trust in God and those things and be patient. But what I have experienced even in these times in God's kingdom, where we hear those difficult in certain areas, there's difficulties and the enemy of the soul is trying to work on the children of God and cause confusion and dissent and so forth, that I become so worried and so anxious. And it's gone sometimes to such an extent that I realize then that this joy that David spoke of here, that make me to hear joy and gladness, that somehow that joy of salvation, which he also mentioned in the last verse that we read, that restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit, that joy would disappear. But dear brothers and sisters, I know that we all experience in some way trial, temptation in life, and anxieties. But may it not be that we would be so burdened, whether it be by our own cares or the cares of lives of others, that we would lose faith ourselves, or that we would lose the joy of being a believer. We could say when all else is taken away, if in some example someone's life was reduced totally, all their belongings, like Job, were reduced. He lost his possessions, he lost his wife, he lost his children, he lost his houses, something like that. If it would happen. Yet we can have a joyful heart, as hard as it may be on flesh and blood. We can be joyful that we are a child of God, that we have the hope of heaven. Heaven is open for us. That in the end, when all things are stripped away and our lives have come to the conclusion, to the end of their days, there is no kind of questions raised by the kingdom of God that, how much did that person possess, or were they skillful or known in their calling or any such thing. It's simply this, that they have the testimony that they slept away in faith. That's all that counts, that there was faith of the heart. So we are good to pray that whatever life brings to us, whatever joy, whatever difficulty, that we could, if it is a great or a blessing, great or small, that we would remember that it came from God. And if we are tried in some way, that we would know that God has allowed it to be so. But God, sometimes within the trials of life, he has hidden also his blessings, that we would be small, that we would be boys and girls in his kingdom, that we would always look to him for help and look to him to guide our lives. So we can, even the lowest, darkest days of our life of faith, we can still rejoice that God has called us to be His own, and through His Son has opened a way of salvation for us, that we can be of that kind of heart that we are heaven acceptable. David had that plea too, that create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And of course, he has said much in a few words, but he had that plea of heart after falling into such darkness and having returned to the kingdom of God through the power of the gospel, that he wanted that kind of heart that was sensitive and sensitive conscience, and wanted to keep faith and a good conscience, and wanted to keep a clean heart. I think when a person loses the fear of sin, and it is possible for any one of us who journey in faith to become hardened to the matters because of unwatchfulness. When we come to that point that sin does not bother us, then we are in a very sorrowful position. Just recently, one of our friends up there in Michigan was relating of something that had happened in his own family, and one of his children was struggling and would come to him and say, the gospel doesn't have any meaning to me. Doesn't have any meaning to me anymore. And his father would try to encourage him that, well, continue to believe, and the son would say, well, at a different time, it has no meaning to me. In other words, it was just words. When the father would preach to the son, believe your sins forgiven, it was just some kind of words. That son lost faith and traveled for a time in this world, and then he returned and wanted to hear those words, and wanted to hear that his sins were forgiven. And of course, the believers with great joy preached the gospel of the forgiveness of sins to him. And as we know, even the angels in heaven rejoice when one returns to the house of God. The father asked, what happened? And the mother too, what happened? And he said that I allowed sentence to accumulate on my conscience. And so at some point, those words, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, they didn't have that same meaning anymore. They were just words. But of course, in his case, it was, as in David's, we can say, God is a gracious God, that he calls us back into his kingdom, those that have gone. And we can, even in our family, we can speak with great joy of those prodigals that have returned after many years. So we know that it is not hopeless. Those words that have been sown into the heart many years earlier, that they can come to bear fruit in the time that God has appointed. But it would be a very fearful thing, as David said, that take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If his Spirit is taken from us, then we will not be concerned about this way of salvation. These same words of kingdom of God and forgiveness of sins and unity of the Spirit and many other things will have a very different meaning to one who is carnally minded or has not faith. So we pray too that God's Holy Spirit would be with us as He is now, but always, that we could make this journey with the light of God's Word, with the power of that Spirit which speaks unto us that message which comes from the heart of the Father and the Son, and that we would not become hardened in our life of faith and lose our way in our salvation. So we have in our text that the testimony of one who with great joy returned to the kingdom of God and again began that journey. And we know it was a journey that was such that he was able to lay down the staff of faith at the end of his life and be received into the rest of the righteous and await that resurrection call that we and will wait for too someday, and those that have gone before us in faith, and to be received finally into that safety and glory of heaven and enjoy those eternal services that we can only in a dim, vague way understand what they must be like. But we know that it will be a time when faith will not be required because we will see Him and as our Lord and Savior and be able to live forever in His presence. But for now, dear brothers and sisters, we need to continue in faith here in the kingdom of God and make our journey keeping faith and a good conscience and putting away sin as sin attaches. That is the part of the mystery of faith that we understand through the power of the Spirit, even though we can't explain it so well to some, but we know the power of the Spirit, the power of the gospel in our life, and the power of the Spirit. So continue in faith and the care of God's kingdom, and put your hearts to believe, even at this moment, if you have your latest doubts and fears, uplift your hearts to believe the forgiveness of all sins and errors. Believe all forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Believe all forgiven unto peace and unto freedom and joy, and continue in the good care of the good shepherd. And I too need to travel with that same power towards that same hope and goal that you have, and to ask that, can you bless and forgive me? I promise to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our services by reciting the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.